For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It's February 19th in Treyaso, in Chavakuk, Perek Gimel, chapter 3. I mentioned at the end of the last class that this Perek is the Haftorah for the second day of Shavuos, which means that we're going to have reference here to Matan Torah, which obviously makes sense. If we read it on Shavuos, it's going to talk a little bit about the giving of the Torah itself. Now, just to remember that Chavakuk, his Nevuah is primarily about Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar, and Chavakuk begins his Nevuah complaining and saying it's not right the way Hashem is giving power to Nebuchadnezzar and what they're going to do to the Jews. And we talked about how he drew a circle and he asked Hashem, he didn't want to leave the circle until he found out what was going to be, how would we survive this, what was going to happen in the end. Now, in Perek Gimel, so we begin Tefillah l'Chavakuk HaNavi. This is a prayer to Chavakuk the prophet, meaning one that he said, not a prayer to him, but one that he said, Al Shigyonos, on Shigyonos. So a Shigayon means a mistake, an error in behavior. Chavakuk here is trying to correct the fact that he complained about what was happening, meaning that he the way that he spoke, and he said before that it's not fair what's happening to the Jewish people. Hashem, how could you do this? So he felt it was inappropriate the way he spoke to Hashem, and now he's correcting it in this next parak. So here, I'm sorry?
Was it inappropriate?
It seems that it may have been. So we compared it to Choni HaMagol when we spoke about it, and we showed that Choni HaMagol was much more strident in the way he did it than Chavakuk. Nevertheless, Chavakuk still felt that it was at least a subtle mistake on his part.
But there is two different things then. One was not getting out of the circle, and one is how can you do it?
Right.
So which one is the
Well,
one
the getting out of the circle was demanding an answer.
And he said, "This is the kind of rain I want."
That was Choni HaMagol.
That was Choni, right. Yeah. So he was Choni.
Yeah, the way he spread, he was
right. But no, because I didn't know if he was. Because initially, he said in the very beginning, he said, "How could you do this?"
Yeah.
And then now, and then I'm not getting out of the circle. So which one is the both of them?
It could be it's both. So here, this next parak is going to be praising Hashem, and the way that he runs the world and the way that he takes care of the Jews both in the past and what he will do in the future. It is poetic, and therefore, as with all poetic parts of the Torah, it is harder to read. The words are harder to read, but it is definitely a poetic perek, and it's called a tefillah. That's the way it's listed over here. This is a tefillah of Chavakuk. So more this next parak really defines Chavakuk more than the other ones. So he begins, Hashem shamati shimacha. Hashem, I heard what there is to hear about you. Meaning I heard the way that you would normally punish those who do evil. Yaresi. So I feared. Because if you punish sinners, what will happen to the Jews as well? The Jews aren't 100% tzaddikim. So the way that you punish sinners, I feared. Hashem, I ask you, Palcha bekerav shanim, the way that you, your deeds from the years before, the way you used to work with Klal Yisrael from before, Chayehu, bring those deeds back to life. In other words, all of the nisim that you did for Klal Yisrael in the past, so reignite them, make them live again, and bring those miracles to bear. Bekerav shanim todia, make them known again. Berogez rachem tizkor. In anger, remember mercy. Now this phrase, berogez rachem tizkor, we say many times in davening, that even within your anger, remember your mercy. So you should have mercy and you should bring back all of the nisim that you did with Klal Yisrael before. So now that he's bringing that up, he's going to circle back to Matan Torah. Eloka mitaman yavo. Hashem came from Taman. Taman means from the self. V'kadosh mehar paran selah. And Kadosh, the Holy One, came from the mountain of Paran. You came from the south, you came from the mountain of Paran to Har Sinai to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Kisa shamayim hodo, the heavens were filled with his, were covered with his glory. Usihilaso malo haaretz, and his praise filled up the land. Vinoga ka'or tia, and the noga means the, that day was bright, was as bright as could be. It would be like the light of the days of Shesh Yisimei Breishis, of the 6 days of creation. Karnayim miyado lo. Karnayim literally means horns, but it means like bolts of light coming from his hand. Visham chevyon uzo, and there was the hidden, his hidden strength. So when Hashem came to give the Torah, it says that he came from the south, he came from the mountain of Paran, and his, you have his glory, you have bright light, as he came to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Lifanav yelech daver, before him went pestilence, went a plague. V'yetzei reshef liraglav, and another word for plague, came out from his feet, from before him. So that needs explanation. What kind of plague happened before Matan Torah? Amad vayemoded eretz. He stood and he measured the land. Ra'a vayatir goyim. He saw and he split up the nations. He broke up the nations. Vayitzpotzitzu harei ad. And mountains of old were smashed. Shachu givo solam. The hills, the mountains of the world from before, shachu were humbled. Halichos olam lo. The ways of the world are to him. Okay, let's pause there for now. First off, this is just a side point, but worth mentioning. In Pasuk Beis, when it says, Bekerev shanim chayehu, bekerev shanim todia. In the midst of years, make it live. Make what you did in the past live. In the midst of years, make it known. So the Medrash here, it's a Gemara actually, says that if it weren't for the tefillah of Chavakuk, then two Tamidei Chachamim who were studying Torah would be so destitute that they would only have one covering to cover both of them as they studied. They wouldn't have a covering for each of them. In the cold, and they needed a coat or a blanket to cover them, they would only have one for the both of them rather than two to share. And the way the Gemara learns that is because it says, Bekerev Shanim, the Gemara reads it, Bekerev Shnayim, in the midst of two, Chayehu, let the Torah live. In the midst of the two, let them have the wherewithal to be able to study the Torah without having to be so destitute. And that here he throws in a prayer that when people study Torah, they shouldn't end up so destitute that they are unable to afford a way of warming them each separately. The Gemara tells us, and Rashi mentions this in Chumash, that when Hashem came to give the Torah to the Jewish people, Hashem came from different directions. So what does it mean he came from different directions? So Rashi tells us in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, at the end of the Chumash, the Torah says in Vizos HaBracha, which we read, of course, on Simchas Torah, the second pasuk in Vizos HaBracha says, Vayomar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem mi Sinai ba, Hashem came from Sinai, Vizarach mi Seir Lomo, and he shone from Seir to them, to the Jewish people. Hofi'a mehar Paran, he came forth from the mountain of Paran. Ve'asam me'rivavos Kodesh, and he came from Rivavos Kodesh. Mimino, from his right hand, Eish Das Lomo, a fiery law to them, to the Jewish people. Referring to the giving of the Torah. So it says Hashem came from many places. So Rashi tells us over here, he shone from Seir. Shepasach livnei Seir, he began with the people of Seir. Seir is are the descendants of Esav. Sheikabu es haTorah, that they should accept the Torah, for lo ratzu. They rejected it. They didn't want it. Hofia lahem, he came forth to the Jewish people. Mehar Paran, from the mountain of Paran. Why the mountain of Paran? Shahalach Sham, he went there. Upasach livnei Yishmael, sheikabluha. He asked the children of Ishmael, do you want to accept it? V'loratzu, they didn't want to. And also he came from Rivavos Kodesh, he came from different places to offer the Torah to the other nations, and they did not accept it. And that's what it means, he came from different directions from Matan Torah, meaning he had gone to the other nations to offer the Torah, and they rejected it. Now what exactly it means that he offered it, to whom in among the other nations did he offer it? What was the process of that? I don't know the answer to that question. But we do know the Torah was offered to the other nations, and the other nations did reject the Torah. And the Gemara says that here, when it says in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Elokam Itaman Yavo, Hashem came from the south, this is the same idea that Moshe Rabbeinu mentions in Vizos HaBracha, that Hashem came from other places where he had offered the Torah to the other nations and they rejected it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Me'avro. So, I want to read to you a rather lengthy Gemara which will bring out this point about offering the Torah to the other nations. We all heard about that, but what is the broader background of that offering the Torah to the other nations? And what does it have to do with the Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Lefanav Yelech Dover, that there was pestilence before him? I will tell you what Rashi says here in Chavakuk. You know what, first we'll read the Gemara, then I'll tell you what Rashi says here in Chavakuk, because that's going to tie into the Gemara. But let's do the Gemara first. The Gemara is a clear-cut story that has not happened yet. The Gemara tells us, it's lengthy but very, very interesting. Darash Rav Chanina bar Papa v'itemer Rav Simloi. Law said, love in the future, the end of the days. Mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah, Hashem will bring a Sefer Torah, umanicho b'cheiko, he will hold it, toward it to his chest. V'omer, he will say, lemi, kol mi sha'asak ba, anybody who was involved with the Torah, yavo v'yitol scharo, come, and receive your reward. The end of days, we will be richly rewarded for having adhered to the Torah. But what about everybody else? Miad miskabtsim uvayin ovdei kochavim b'irvuvya. Immediately, they will gather and come, all of the nations of the world, in a, irvuvya means in a mob. They're going to come wanting reward. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will say to them, Al tikansu lefanei b'revuvya, do not come in as a mob. El tikanes kol uma v'uma v'sofreha. Each nation should come in separately with its scribes, with its leadership. And you'll tell me why you deserve the Torah. The Gemara goes through several attempts that Edom made and Yishmael made, and they were each rejected. The Persians made an attempt, they were rejected. There's a whole discussion of what their arguments were, and they were rejected. Then the Gemara says, Omrim Lefanov, the non-Jews will say to Hashem, Ribono Shalolam, Klum Nasata Lanu V'lo Kibalnuha, did you give us the Torah and we didn't accept it. See, Hashem is going to say to them, Misha Tarach Be'er Shabbos Yochav Shabbos. The Jews kept the Torah. So that's why they're going to get rewarded. You didn't keep the Torah, so you don't get reward. So they're going to say to Hashem, but you didn't give it to us. How can you blame us for not keeping the Torah? You didn't give us the Torah. Did you give us the Torah that we would then not accept it, not do it? So the Gemara says, what do you mean that Hashem didn't give them the Torah? That's not true. Doesn't it say, as we just read, Vayomar Hashem Misinai Ba, that Hashem offered the Torah to the other nations and they rejected it? So He did offer it to them and they did reject it. So the Gemara says, Elahachi Amri, rather, this is what they're going to say. They're not going to argue, did you offer us the Torah and did we not accept it? They're not going to argue that because that is what happened. They were offered, they didn't accept it. Rather, they're going to argue, Klum ki balnuha v'lo ki amnuha. Did we accept it and not keep it? You can't blame us for not keeping the Torah. We never had it to not keep it. So it's true we may have rejected it, but we never had it and didn't keep it. So the Gemara says, "Ve'aldo tevar tahon." But that argument itself breaks them, because amaylo kibaltua. Why didn't you accept it? So good. So you can argue that you didn't not keep it because you didn't accept it. But why didn't you accept it? Ela kachom rim lefanam. So rather, this is the argument they're going to say: Ribono shalom. Klum kafis alinu har kegigis v'lo kibal nuha. Did you hold a mountain over our heads and we didn't accept it? You held a mountain over the Jews' heads, like kemosha sisa li Yisrael, like you did to the Jewish people. So how come you can't blame us? You didn't hold a mountain over our heads to force us to accept it. So the Gemara says, Omer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, harishonos yashmi'unu. The first ones, meaning the first mitzvos, will be our guide, will let us know. Meaning, Sheva mitzvah shekibaltam. The seven mitzvahs that you did accept. Noach did accept seven mitzvahs. Heichan kiyamtem. Where did you keep them? Meaning, you didn't keep the Sheva mitzvahs either. So don't tell me I didn't hold the mountain over your heads. You weren't keeping the ones I had already commanded you and you accepted from before. So you didn't deserve to have the mountain held over your heads. The Jews were keeping the Zion mitzvahs. They were keeping the Sheva mitzvahs. So okay, so then they deserve to get forced into keeping the 613. But you didn't keep the seven mitzvos. So the Gemara says, how do we know they didn't keep the seven mitzvos? So the Gemara says, the Tani of Yosef taught, from this pasuk, from the pasuk Vav, from verse 6 in Chavakuk. The pasuk says, Amad vayemoded eretz, ra'ah vayater goyim. He stood and measured the land, he saw, and he split up the nations. My Ra, what did he see? Ra Zion mitzvahs shekiblu alayim b'nei Noach. He saw the seven mitzvahs that were accepted by the b'nei Noach. V'lo kaimum, and they did not keep them. Kivan shelo kaimum, once he saw they didn't keep them, amad v'hitiran lahen, so he got up, and he made them permitted to them. He took away the seven mitzvos, and said they're now permitted to do them. So the Gemara says, what? Isgure isgur? They are rewarded? They're rewarded for not keeping the seven mitzvos? Now they get to not keep them? So the Gemara says, rather, Sha'af al-pisha mekaymin o-son, even if they do keep them, ein mekablam aleihem sachar, they don't get reward. Meaning, they still have to keep them, but they lost the reward they would have gotten for keeping them. Because they weren't keeping them, Hashem took away the reward. The Gemara questions this, and proves that they do get rewarded for keeping the seven mitzvos. So the Gemara says, rather, they get rewarded, but they only get rewarded like someone who is an eino mitzuva v'ose, like someone who is not commanded and keeps the Torah, rather, this keeps the seven mitzvos, rather than someone who is commanded. As we know, when you're commanded, you get more reward. When you're not commanded, you get less reward. So Hashem, what He did to the Zion, to the 70 nations, because they weren't keeping the seven mitzvos, He said, you've now lost the opportunity to get rewarded for the Zion mitzvos in a manner of someone who is commanded. Even though you are commanded, you will not be rewarded as if you're commanded. Essentially because as far as you're concerned, you don't behave like you're commanded. So therefore, you lost that right. We've talked about this before, that part of the reason why a mitzvah va'osa, one who is commanded and does, is on a higher level than one who is not commanded, is because when one is commanded, one always feels a stronger yetzer hara to not do, because no one wants to be told what to do. But since the non-Jews treat the seven mitzvahs as if they're not required to do them, so Hashem says, your reward will be only as good as someone who is not commanded to do, even though you are commanded to do. That's the punishment to them for rejecting, for not keeping the seven mitzvahs. Now, this means, as we've spoken about before, that they are incapable of getting that close to Hashem. That's what it means. Because being richly rewarded essentially means getting close to Hashem. And they were therefore now kept a certain distance from Hashem, even if they keep the seven mitzvos. So the Gemara says, so then the non-Jews try a different tactic. They say, Ribono shel Olam, Yisrael shekiblua, the Jews who did accept the Torah, heichan kaimua. Where do they keep it? Who says they kept the Torah? You're saying we get rejected because we didn't keep the Zion mitzvahs. Well, did the Jews keep the Torah? So Hashem says, Ani meid bahem shekaimu es haTorah kula, I will testify about them. They kept the whole Torah. Omrim lefanav, they say before him, Ribono shel Olam, klum yesh av shemeid al beno, how could a father testify for his son? They're your children. We can't trust your judgment. We can't trust your testimony. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shamayim v'aretz yayidu. Heaven and earth will testify that the Jews kept the Torah. They say back, they're biased. Because we know, the pasuk says, Im lo brisi yomam v'layla, that if without keeping the Torah, Hashem says, I will return the world to tohu vavohu, I'll destroy the world if the Torah is not kept. So of course the heavens and the earth are going to testify that the Jews kept the Torah, because their life is at stake. The heavens and the earth will be destroyed if the Jews don't keep the Torah. Therefore, they're not good witnesses, they can't testify. So Hashem says, Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mikem Yavau, from you, some of your own will come, V'yoidu Bahan Bi Yisrael Shakimu Es HaTorah Kula, and you will testify that the Jews kept the whole Torah. Yavo Nimrod, Nimrod will come, V'yoid Be Avraham, and he'll testify about Avraham Avinu, Shalo Avad Avodah Zarah, that he did not worship Avodah Zarah. Yavo Lavan will come. V'yayid b'Yaakov, he'll testify about Yaakov. Shalo nechshan ala gezel, that he cannot be suspected for theft. Tavo eshes Potiphera, the wife of Potiphar will come. V'tayid b'Yosef, she will testify about Yosef. Shalo nechshan ala ha'avera, that he cannot be suspected for the avera of Gilui Arayas. Yavo Nebuchadnezzar will come. V'yayid b'Chananya mishav Azariah, he'll testify about Chananya mishav Azariah. Shalo ishtachavu letzelem, that they did not bow to the idol. Yavo Daryavish will come. V'yayid b'Daniel, and he will testify about Daniel. Shlo bitel es hatfila, that he did not nullify daven. He davened even though the punishment was getting thrown into the lion's den. That he davened anyway. Yavo bildo nashuchi b'tzofra na'amasi v'alifaz ha'temani v'yayidu b'hem b'Yisrael. These will, people will all come, and they'll testify about the Jews. Shekimu es kol ha'Torah kula, that they kept the entire Torah. Now the Gemara goes on. They're going to say, well, okay, let us try again. Hashem says, too late.
It's interesting because like so many of those things are seven mitzvahs by Noach that the Goyim were coming to say.
That's right.
Not the Taryag mitzvahs.
Right. And they're going to say, well, okay, let us try now. Hashem's going to say, it's too late. But Hashem says, nevertheless, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Babitrunya and Biryosav. Hashem does not come with trickery against his creatures. I'll give you one mitzvah to do, an easy mitzvah to do, and we'll see how you handle it. This is the famous Gemara. Which mitzvah does he give them?
Sukkah.
He gives them the mitzvah of sukkah. Oh. They build the sukkah on their roofs. They go and sit in the sukkah. Hashem makes it extremely hot, and it becomes unbearable. And the Gemara says they kick the sukkah and walk out. So the Gemara says that, but what's wrong with that? If it gets very hot, you don't have to sit in the sukkah. You're not required to sit in the sukkah if it's too hot. The Gemara says that's true, but you don't kick it on the way out. That, you know, the point is Hashem is showing them, he's making them tip their hand. He's showing them, you don't deserve what the Jews deserve. You were not loyal. You weren't interested. From the beginning you weren't interested, and now you're not interested. You're not really interested in keeping my Torah. You're not interested in doing what I have to say. All you want is the reward, but you're really not interested. And therefore you don't get the reward. And the Gemara says that, that with this, Hashem will, so to speak, laugh. And the Gemara talks about Hashem's laughter on that day in the future because of this whole episode. So this will be in the end of days where we will get our reward and the non-Jews will lose their reward. And again, it is because they didn't keep the seven mitzvot, so therefore they weren't given the opportunity to accept the Torah itself. And that's what it means over here, Amad Vayimodid Eretz, Ra'a Vayater Goyim, he stood and he measured the land, he saw and he scattered the nations. It means, when it says Vayater Goyim, it means he made mutter the Goyim, which means he made their keeping the seven mitzvos as if they were not commanded to keep it. And they lose the extra reward for someone who is commanded and does. The Gemara says in Meseches Bava Kama, you know the rule is that, by the way, was in, that was in Meseches Avodah Zarah, right in the beginning. Beis Amar Aleph, and Beis Amar Beis, and Gimel Amar Aleph, 2a, 2b, and 3a. You know the rule is that if it's this week's parasha, that if someone owns a bull, and that bull gores another bull, somebody else's bull, so the rule is, if the animal that gored is a tam, that means it's not an animal that regularly gores, then how much do you pay? Chatzi nezek. You only have to pay half of the damages. But if the bull has gored three times, and now it is a muad, it's a bull that regularly gores, now if it gores, one is required to pay full price. That's the rule of animals that damage other animals in this week's parsha. The Gemara tells us the rule is, this is Bava Kama, Lamed Ches Amar Aleph 38a. The Gemara tells us, it's a Mishnah, Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shel Kenani Pater. If a bull owned by a Jew gores a bull owned by a non-Jew, the Jew is exempt from paying. Shor Shel Akum, Shenagach Shor Shel Yisrael. But if a bull owned by a non-Jew gores a bull owned by a Jew, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, whether it regularly gores or does not regularly gore, Chayev Nezek Shalom, he has to pay full price. So it is completely weighted towards the Jews that we are always pater, they are always chayev. That's the rule. So the Gemara says, why is this? So the Gemara says, logically it doesn't seem to make sense because the Pasuk says in this week's parasha that it says, Ki gach shor ish es shor re'ehu. The bull of a man will gore the bull of his friend. So, are they considered our friend or not? If they are considered our friend, if they go into the phrase our friend, it refers to the non-Jews as well, well then they should have the same rules we do. That if it's a regularly goring ox, you pay full price, and if it's not a regularly goring ox, you pay half price. If you say they're not included in Re'ehu, that your friend only means your fellow Jew, fine. Then I understand why if our bull gores their bull, we are putter. But then if their bull gores our bull, they should also be putter. So how can we have it both ways? Doesn't seem to make sense. So the Gemara says, Amar Avavo, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, our Pasuk here in Chavakuk, Amad Vayemoded Eretz Ra'a Vayater Goyim, Ra'a Sheva Mitzvos Shekiblu Aleim B'nei Noach. Hashem saw the seven mitzvos that the non-Jews accepted, and they did not keep them. Kivan Shlo Kimu, once they didn't accept them, Amad Vihitir Mamonon Li Yisrael, he got up and permitted their money to the Jewish people. Now that doesn't mean that a Jew can just take money from a non-Jew. We rule that gezel akum, stealing from a non-Jew, is prohibited. But when it comes to court laws of damage, the damage laws are weighted against the non-Jew and in favor of the Jew because the non-Jew rejected the seven mitzvos that they were given. They did not keep them, and therefore they not only lost the ability to get rewarded, as we mentioned here in Avodah Zarah, but also they now have a disadvantage when it comes to these monetary cases in court. And the Gemara goes on to with a similar discussion from what we just read before in Avodah Zarah, about how Hashem offered them the Torah and they rejected it, etc. Then the Gemara relates a story. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Ukvar Sholcha Malchus Romi Shnei Sardutos Eitzel Chachme Yisrael. The Roman government sent two Sardutos, which means two scholars, to the Jewish people, to the sages of the Jews. And they said, Lamdunu Toraschem, teach us your Torah. So this was on pain of death. They were forced to teach these two scholars the Torah. Now this, the Roman government's intent was to find out everything there is to find out, and to find out whether the Torah is in fact biased against the Roman government. And that would of course result in very bad things for us. Karu Vishanu Vishaleshu, they learned, they reviewed it, and they went over it a third time. Bishas Petirasan, when they were leaving, Amulahem, they, the two scholars, said to the Tamidei Chachamim, Dikdaknu Bechol Toraschem, we have examined your entire Torah, Ve'emesu, it is the truth, we see, it is an unbelievable Torah, it is 100% truth, there's nothing we can say about it. Chutz mi davar ze she'atem omrim, except for this one thing that you say, shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel Kanani pater, that the bull of a Jew that gores the bull of a non-Jew is pater, shel Kanani shenagach shor shel Yisrael, but the bull of a non-Jew that gores the bull of a Jew, bein tam bein mu'ad, whether it is a tam, whether it's a mu'ad, whether it regularly gores or doesn't regularly gore, mishalem nezek shalem, has to pay full price. And they say this is not logical. They make the argument of, are we included in the word re'ehu, or are we not included in the word re'ehu? It doesn't seem to make sense why it should go this way. And then they conclude, however, v'davar zeh ein anu modim oso lemalchus, and this thing we will not tell the government. They were so taken by the Torah and so swayed by what they had heard and seen that even though there was something here that they felt was not unfair, but illogical, they didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. They said, we're going to leave that out of our report. We're going to drop that from our report, because they were so enamored. They said, even though we don't understand this point, we're not turning you in. We're not going to make that happen. It's too good. The Torah is too, it's MS. And therefore we can't cause negativity because of the Torah. However, they said, we don't understand it. That they weren't able to grasp that the reason is because they rejected the seven mitzvos. Even as these are scholars who have studied the Torah and understood the Torah, and I don't know what it means they studied the Torah. I assume it means Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah. I assume it's what it means with some explanation. I don't know exactly what they studied, what they didn't study. However, these are scholars who are getting a broad picture of the Torah, and they're taken with it, and they still can't accept that the fact that they rejected the seven mitzvos puts them at a disadvantage monetarily. Yeah.
In reality, how often does a goy go to a Jewish court, though?
Goy usually take
Jews to their court.
It would only happen if we were in Israel and we were running. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
So, yeah, is this only, the halacha is only for Israel?
The halacha is true always, except we can't control it. We have no control over that normally.
Is that in other areas also? I mean, it's not only just in...
It says it in this area. I don't know if it carries over because it's not really a practical thing, as you said. Right? It doesn't usually come up. But it's a good question. Okay, so there is this rejection of the seven mitzvos has put the non-Jews at a very, very big disadvantage in many ways. Spiritually, they now cannot be as close to Hashem as they could have been before. Not only that, but they were not given the opportunity to be forced into accepting the Torah when they rejected it. They were not forced into it. Now, okay, we'll get to us in a minute. And even in this world, they're at a disadvantage monetarily because of the fact that they rejected their mitzvahs. So then what's with this, in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, what's this business with the Dever, with the plague, with the pestilence? Says Rashi, Matzasi b'medrash agada, I found in a medrash, B'shah shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah liYisrael, when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, Tordo l'malach hamaves, Hashem wanted to distract the malach hamaves, the angel of death, lahafligo lidvar macherim, to get him involved in other things. Hashem made a plague. He brought pestilence against the world. There was a massive coronavirus all over the world. Many people were dying. Hashem did this on purpose at the time of Matan Torah. He brought a plague against the world that the Malach HaMavis should be very busy all over the world. Why? Remember, the Malach HaMavis and the Yetzer Hara and the Satan are all the same angel. It's the same Malach. So, why? Shlo yamod lekanter, that he should not stand and prosecute. Volomar and say, Uma sh'asida lichbar becha lesof arboim yom, a nation that in the end is going to deny you, reject you at the end of 40 days. 40 days from today, from the day of Matan Torah, Hashem, what are the Jews going to do? They're going to worship the golden calf. They're going to reject you. The atanosin lahem es haTorah. And you're giving them the Torah. Hashem didn't want the Malach HaMavis to make that argument. So he made him very busy. He sent them all over the place because there were a lot of deaths that he had to do. The Black Plague, the influenza of the early 20th century, whatever it is, he made a massive plague, and the Malach HaMavis was very busy running around dealing with all the people that had to die at that time, and therefore he wasn't available to make the argument that might have derailed the giving of the Torah. What would have been the argument? How can you give the Jews, the Torah, they may be doing fine now, but 40 days from now, they are going to reject you. As the Gemara says, Aluva kala mezana tachas chupasa, or besel chupasa, that it is a pretty embarrassing, it's shameful, a lowly kala, that she's mezana, that she commits adultery while still under the chuppah. That's what we did. We were still at Har Sinai, and we committed adultery. We went off to the Egel Hazav. It's pretty pathetic. That's what the Gemara says. That would have been a very strong argument to force Hashem not to give us the Torah. And he didn't want the Malach HaMavis to make that argument, so he sent them all over the world with people to die. So this medrash obviously has many problems, many questions one can ask. First of all, is it a good argument or isn't it a good argument? If it's a good argument, why does the Malach HaMavis have to make the argument? If it's a good argument, then it's an argument. It's true. So what do you mean? Is Hashem afraid of the argument? What does that mean? Hashem is burying his head in the sand, kiviyachol, so to speak. Look, what does that mean? Is that a good reason or not a good reason? If it is an ironclad attack, then we shouldn't have gotten the Torah. If it has holes in it, so then shoot it down. What do you have to go send the Malach HaMavis all over? And second of all, I understand you don't want the Malach HaMavis to make the argument. So I don't know. Lock him up.
I don't know. Send them on a picnic. But you got to go send them killing people right and left. So you're gonna kill.
Better than that, send Moshe down on the 39th day and make it all.
Okay. Okay.
Right. That would have been better.
But the Malach HaMavis, you're gonna kill thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people, just because you want to make him busy. And what does it mean that he's busy anyway? He's a malach. What does that mean? He can't physically get or spiritually get there fast enough? What does that mean?
Well, this comes up all the time about these power. They have the power.
But we're gonna explain it. So good. Okay. So so what is the answer anyway to that point? It's a strong point. The Jews are gonna reject the Hashem within 40 days. So what's the answer? The answer to that is that we said Nasa v'nishma, that we accepted the Torah. We didn't just accept the Torah. We said we will do, and then we'll understand, which means we accepted it implicitly. We didn't need to know what it said. The other nations of the world, not only did they reject the Torah, but when Hashem offered it to them, they said, Ma kasuv, but what does it say? And Hashem said, it says, don't murder. Oh, no, we can't handle that. It says, don't steal. No, no, no. It says you can't commit adultery. No, 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 that's not for us. But they asked, what does it say? We didn't even ask. We just accepted it. My Rosh Hashiva of Weinberg's Chacham Rachel used to say that the rejection began when they asked, what does it say? That's already a form of rejection. This is Hashem we're talking about. We're not talking about a human being. If Hashem is offering it, then it should be self-evident that it is good. Irrespective of what it says, you should accept it. By asking, what does it say, the non-Jews were saying, we will accept it on our terms if we accept it. But only on our terms, not on your terms. In the end, they didn't accept it. But even if they would have accepted it, they were saying, we only accept it if we like it. We didn't examine the document. We signed without looking. We just said yes. Nasa v'nishma. That is a huge zechus that we have. As you know, the Gemara says that a bas kol came out, Hashem's voice came out and said, Migila lebanai raz zeh, who revealed to my children this secret? Shemalachei Asharis Mishnam Shemba, that the attending angels use, that we just do without needing to know. We'll find out later. Obviously, we have to know what to do, so we're going to have to look at the document. But in terms of accepting it, we're not even reading it. We're just signing on the dotted line. If Hashem's offering it, how could we refuse? That was our reaction. Very, very different than the non-Jews' reaction. That was not forced upon us. When Hashem put the mountain over our heads, that was not when we said Nasa v'nishma. We said Nasa v'nishma without that. However, in other words, we didn't need that. What I mean to say is the mountain wasn't necessary for us to say Nasa v'nishma. But Hashem also, there also was an element of being forced. The Mefarshim speak about what had to be forced over here. What was the issue of being coerced of the mountain over our heads? We did reject Hashem, unfortunately, 40 days later. It's one of the worst avers we ever did with the golden calf, with the Egel Hazav. But at the moment of Har Sinai, we were not just sincere, we were right on the money. We were exactly where a nation needs to be to accept the Torah. And that is Nasa v'nishma. That's what we said, and therefore we deserved it. And the nations of the world who asked, what does it say? They were incapable of being the ones to get the Torah. Why were we able to say Nasa v'nishma? And why were they unable to do that? Why did they need to know? And why did we just accept it implicitly?
Because we'd been taken care of by Hashem. He'd given us the clouds, he gave us the fire, he gave us the man, he showed all the things in Egypt to us.
That may be true, but if anything, that should scare us to accept more responsibility, because the Jews were afraid of what happened in Egypt. That was terrifying to the Jews. They were terrified that what happened to the Egyptians.
I thought we said that's why they thought that Hashem was a God who would protect us in war, and then the other things like man and stuff showed that he could take care of us.
Yes. But when you accept more responsibility, then a person is now in a position where if we don't do it, we're more likely to be punished. So you're right. We did see all of that. But
I think we saw all the good that he did and all the miracles.
We saw both.
Right.
But the whole world saw both.
Meant for us.
It's true. But the offer of the Torah meant that if you accept the Torah, then you are now privy to all of that. You're now on the inside rather than being on the outside. They could have had it. The reason why we were ready and able and willing to do it is because we had kept the 7 mitzvos. We had done it. And we knew that when you keep the mitzvos, it is a good thing, that it doesn't have to be something that's easy or that you like. Avram Avinu kept the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, and he got thrown into the fire. And Yaakov Avinu kept the mitzvah of theft. And Yosef kept the mitzvah of Giloy Arayas, etc., etc., etc. We kept it all. And because of that, we were primed to say Naaseh V'Nishma. But the non-Jews had rejected the 7 mitzvahs. They were not in a mode of keeping anything. The non-Jews were not in a place where they had accepted the authority of Hashem. And therefore they said, well, we want to know what it says, because we're not accepting it on your terms, Hashem. After all, these 7 mitzvahs, they're no picnic, and we're not interested in the 7 mitzvahs. So let's see what the document says. Let's see what it, you know, if maybe it'll say things that we like. Maybe it won't. We have to see.
In Avodah Zarah, when you quoted it before, because I didn't write it all down, were there 7 of the goyim that were
so.
Saying that?
I don't think
we
so.
Did
also, some
7.
I don't think
the
so.
The davening wasn't.
Yeah, and also some of them were after Matan Torah.
Okay.
So you know,
it doesn't match up exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't match up. I know. Daniel, Hanan, Shalom, Azariah. Davening could also be Emunah and Hashem. So I don't know. But okay. But anyway,
yeah, okay.
All right. But still, fine. So the reason why we did deserve to get the Torah, despite the fact that we were going to worship the Egel HaZav, is because at the moment we really did accept it fully 100%. The non-Jews, not only did they not accept it, they rejected. They said, we're not interested. And they had already rejected the 7 mitzvos. Hashem brought Dever, a pestilence, against the non-Jews. It was a punishment for rejecting the Torah. The non-Jews rejected the Torah. It didn't just mean that they didn't get it and we got it. There was a punishment. There was a plague that spread over the entire world that killed many, many, many people as a result of having rejected the Torah and by extension rejecting Hashem. And that's what the Medrash means, that Hashem didn't want the Malach HaMaves to mention this complaint that the Jews are going to worship the Egel HaZav. So he sent him, he made him busy killing other people. What that means is Hashem made it clear, this argument that the Jews are going to worship the Egel HaZav is not a compelling argument, because look at the difference between the Jews and the non-Jews. The non-Jews deserve to be killed because they rejected the Torah and they rejected me. Whereas the Jews deserve the Torah because they fully embraced the Torah and embraced me with Naaseh V'Nishma. They didn't say Ma'akasuv, but what does it say? They just said, if you're offering it, we're taking it. We'll find out later what it says. And that's what the Medrash means over here, and that's why there was a plague before Matan Torah. That's what it means, Amad Vayimoded Eretz Ravai Targoyim, that because they rejected the 7 mitzvos, this is the result. Now, again, we don't know who was offered. What does it mean that Hashem offered the Torah, let's say, to Edom? What does that mean? The king of Edom was offered the Torah? The wise men of Edom were offered the Torah? Was every single person offered the Torah? We don't know what it means that they were offered the Torah in that way. It's hard to know what it means. Was there a spokesman? And we also know that according to one medrash, that that the geirim of the world, the converts of the world, they come from either their neshamos or their descendants of those who at the time of Matan Torah were the minority of each nation that wanted to accept the Torah, but they were outvoted. They were overwhelmingly outvoted. So they were unable, their nation did not accept the Torah. But they personally wanted to, and so they become the Geirim of future generations. That's one medrash about Geirim. So, does that mean every single person? I don't know. I don't know what it means. Was every single person offered it individually, and Hashem just took a tally after that? Was there a voting box? I don't know. But certainly the nation as a whole rejected the Torah, and therefore there were consequences. Clearly, not everybody was killed. Not everybody who rejected it was killed. Hashem has his methodology of how he metes out punishment and how he does things. But there was a terrible plague at that time because of the rejection of the Torah by those other nations of the world. Yeah.
It's all been fascinating. I still don't understand why, if Habakkuk is trying to say he's sorry for a mistake, he's bringing up future events.
Past.
Well, I thought you said that some of these things are going to happen in the future.
You will get that to later. Right now, he's only talking about the Torah. It's the giving of the Torah. The Gemara I read in Avodah Zarah was to explain the whole thing. But that's a conversation that will happen in the future, but it's about the past. It's about the Hashem offering the Torah and, you know.
I'm still trying to figure out how Matan Torah and his mistake are going to be.
This is how he's starting his praise, you know, of Hashem. He's going to get to a broader picture. He's going to go from Matan Torah throughout all the generations to the future, and he's talking about the greatness of Hashem throughout the whole thing.
Okay, to undo when he was questioning Hashem, he's going to talk the greatness of Hashem.
So what's the aspect of pulling the mountain over our heads? So that was because, just to make sure that we were going to...
No. I have not answered that question. The Mepharshim speak about it. Maybe next time we'll talk about one of the approaches. There are various approaches to why that was necessary. That's really a Purim discussion. It really is a Purim discussion. Because in Purim we accepted it, Kimu v'Kiblu, right? We accepted it of our own volition. There was no mountain over our heads and we accepted it then. So it really, in contrast to Purim, that is a discussion. So perhaps next time we'll bring that up. We'll see if we can weave that in. So this is what we have thus far in the third paragraph of Habakkuk. It's just a fascinating thing, the way he's bringing things together over here, and that this is the source, this pasuk here is the source for the non-Jews not keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs. I do want to mention, now that we've talked about this, and I, you know, I'm always wary, as you know, I don't like it when people try to interpret current events prophetically, because we have no idea why things happen. There's no way one can interpret things as they are happening. However, we do have some guidance, and it's important to note that when there are calamities that happen in the world, including a plague, then the reason for it is to send a message to us. That doesn't mean that there aren't other reasons as well. It doesn't mean the individuals themselves who are suffering, that there's no rhyme or reason to it. That's Hashem's own cheshbon, that's his calculation of how he handles those things. But when calamities happen in the world, they are primarily to send us a message. And here, this is one of the examples over here, where the message to the Jewish people was, they rejected, this is what happens to them. You accepted, you get the Torah. This was a contrast between the non-Jews and the Jews. Sometimes, though, the reason is to scare us, to let us know that there can be punishment if people do not do better. Sometimes that's the reason. So we are supposed to notice when there's calamity in the world, and we are supposed to fear Hashem because of the calamities of the world and redouble our efforts to serve Hashem better. Even if it's something which happens far away, it's still is something that needs to be known. So I just, here we talked about a plague. Mm-hmm. Whether what's happening today is called a plague or not, I don't know, because it's hard to know exactly what the numbers are, what's really happening, but there are people who are afraid that it is a plague, a real epidemic. And if that is the case, then we should know that even if it does not, Baruch Hashem, affect us directly, it is still something that we're supposed to notice and we're supposed to react to and say, wow, Hashem has a lot of power and He can change things on a dime. Life can change on a dime. An entire city can grind to a halt in literally overnight. That the entire city just grinds to a halt overnight. Hashem can do that anywhere, not just in China. Can happen anywhere, and it can happen anytime, and it can happen no matter what. There's nothing, there's no security, there's no guarantees. Hashem is completely in charge of everything. That's an important message that we need to take when things like this happen.
I saw somebody on the internet that there was a special tefillah at the Kotel for the people with coronavirus.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yes, that's like
really?
At the Kotel.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I couldn't see that.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.